Let's open these precious Bibles. The Word. Hallelujah. Going to Philippians. We're going to get back there in the third chapter. And as we get there, we're going to begin tonight by reading. Well, we're always reading in the Word of God where grace has taken us. But you talk about divine grace has taken us over these past few weeks. And brothers and sisters, I really believe that God is, I'm encouraged to commend you in Christ. He's bringing about a praise in our lives. I mean, it can be a groaning at times. You know it. But it's not a groaning and a murmuring. It's a groaning of suffering together with Jesus Christ. And it's a groaning to see Him. And there's no sweeter groaning to the body nor to the head than to those that are truly being moved to look and to love His appearing. So it's awesome. And sometimes it's even hard to get through a sentence when the love of God just, you know what I'm saying, just strums your heart, grateful to Him for it. But what a journey He's taking us on, isn't it? And I'll tell you, it just gets more intense, more immense, more loving. The valleys get deeper, but the heights get higher. And thanks be to God that He's enlightened the eyes of our understanding all the way along. But in verse 9 of the third chapter, you think about that, that I be found in Him. That's everything, isn't it? Praise God. And that's not just someday. Obviously, Paul is saying that when he sees Him, but it's happening now. That God give us that heart, that we be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then in verse 10, that I may know Him. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. You talk about a deliverance. There isn't anything hard for God with that statement, is there? Come on now. We're not talking about just coming to life again. We're talking about becoming sin for us who knew no sin. 3 days and three nights. Every principality of evil to try to keep Him in that grave. But it was the will of the Father, and there was nothing stopping it. And that is love. Thanks be to God. But that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And continue to mark that out in your life, not just in your Bible. It's Him. It's all His. And my life, by God's grace and yours, is about Christ in us. It's about Him. Amen. Now, tonight, we're going to go press on. And we're going, by God's grace, to the height of heights. The glory that shall be revealed in us. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about a loving Father. You talk about a faithful Savior. This isn't the glory that might be revealed in us. This is the glory that shall be revealed in us. We're waiting, not on an if, but a when. And praise be to God, it's a mother lode no matter as a child of the King, but how much the more in that double portion to marry Him, our Lord and Savior. But after we have suffered a while, the Word of God says. See, you've got to read the Word of God. And if you don't want to read the Word of God, it's still going to be the Word of God, isn't it? And whether you're going to accept the Word of God or not, it's still going to be the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And it says that after we have suffered a while, He'll make you perfect. See, you're already perfect, sinless. But we're going to read tonight about that wonderful word, perfect, to mature us, to grow us up, to complete. Praise God. To grow up into Him. There is Him again. Isn't that amazing? Thanks be to God. It's always the one. Always the one. Him in all things. But after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, isn't that wonderful? What a barometric reading in our lives when we become settled. That's thy will be done. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I know that He knows, and thou knowest it's good. Now, through grace alone, brothers and sisters, is what it's going on to here. We are His masterpiece workmanship. We stand by God's grace if we'll let Him do it. as Esther before the king. And Paul's saying the same thing, what we just read, found in him. Found in him. That's standing before the king as Esther did. See, she was found in him. She took only what the Holy Spirit was to give her. And what does the Holy Spirit give? I take the things of Christ, him only. And he'll show them unto you. He makes them yours. You understand that they're yours. It's just like that little one that's the Lord of all in the kingdom. He got to grow up and understand, I'm the Lord of all, but it is mine. I understand that it's mine. It's all mine through Christ. But to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And what did she do? She came forth, that sweet Esther, and she touched the scepter. Paul says it this way, that I may apprehend him. Praise God. It's all coming together. Do you see all the metaphors, as they say? I love to say types and shadows of the Word of God. And he's taken the veil away. And he's taken the veil away through Paul's gospel. That's why it's told very clearly in the Word of God, follow me as I follow Christ. Praise God. It's very clear. But see, if we're going to wrestle with it, if we're going to get into our own minds, if we're going to say, well, who is Paul? I'll tell you who Paul was. He was God's chosen vessel. We better pay attention to these things, brothers and sisters. It's important. It's not the vessel, but it was the message within the vessel. It was the treasure in the earthen vessel. And it said very clearly throughout the Word of God, he was given the mystery of the church. Praise God, the mystery of Christ. We're so thankful to God that it was brought through that. You know, the people that say, want to know? No, you don't want to know. Because you will know. He that wills to know will know. And it's there for us to know. And brothers and sisters, it's the same way. It's all through yielding grace, submitting to grace, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection. See, grace can only do that. That we may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And grace can only do that. Being made conformable unto his death, you know grace can only do that. And again, it's all of him and nothing of me. And last week in verse 10, we started to touch upon the manifold blessing of it all, the out-resurrection. We're going to take some time with that tonight, so let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank God that these are familiar scriptures to us. Aren't you grateful to God that you know where you're going? I'm thankful I know where I'm going because I know where I'm going in the Word of God. How about you? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's a good part. Praise God. I'm looking for that moment. That's exciting stuff. This is the most real thing to my life. This is what I'm expecting because of the grace of God and his love for me. Isn't that wonderful when you turn there? It's just like, well, okay, we got to turn over here. No, we're going to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh my goodness. And then chapter 5. Okay. Verse 13, or actually 14. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we? All right. Praise God, that was an easy one. Amen. For him, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. See, these are the ones that are sleeping in Jesus, those that have passed. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And what a comfort that is. I mean, this is our comfort because this is our hope. This is why we live. Amen? I mean, this is it. I mean, you know, all these things can happen. But we know this, and God has made it real to us. And by God's grace, we can. Praise the Lord. Now, don't forget to read chapter 5. I'm not going to take time to read the chapter 5, even though we really should. But so precious there in verse 9 of chapter 5, it says, for God, now remember, this is Paul speaking here. You have to remember that. He has not appointed us. So Paul's been a Christian for some time now, hadn't he? Mighty man of God. And he's including himself here. It wasn't he didn't appoint you. He said us, which is so beautiful. Us in Christ, see? Amen. See, us in Christ is what he's talking about. God did not appoint us in Christ to wrath. Okay? Well, we know that we're in Christ. Well, that's not hell he's talking about. Not at all. Matter of fact, we know very clearly this is the tribulation. See, God did not appoint any of his children truly to ever go one day, one moment, one minute into the tribulation. Isn't that wonderful? He loves her so, and he would that all men not just be saved, but come into that fellowship of knowledge, that fullness of knowledge, that intimacy of knowledge of the truth. And this is the truth. He didn't appoint any of us to go to that. He doesn't want that, but to obtain salvation. And we're talking about the out resurrection that we've just read about tonight. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. See, we already have salvation in a sense of we're going to heaven. We're saved, justified, can never be separated. I'm already seated together with him in the heavens in Christ. Amen? Amen. So I know I'm there, as the brother said, provisionally. Praise the Lord. But now, by his grace, he wants me to obtain something else in this salvation. It's called an out resurrection. Resurrection from among the dead. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. 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 Now we know these things. And this portion so clearly explains to us there will be raptures. And most importantly, there will be a first trumpet rapture. Saints taken at different times. I wonder why people have trouble with that when Enoch was not. Elijah, isn't the Old Testament full of types and shadows? Come on now, you know it. And any Bible student will tell you so. Yes, those stories are real, but there's more meaning than just the story. And the story's incredible, but there's far deeper layers. And if you can even imagine, this is it for all the ages to come. What's in here? Oh my goodness. We've just touched it by his grace. Actually, he's touched us by his grace. But these are precious types of the readied body, this Enoch and Elijah, that walk with God, according to knowledge, as in Philippians 3:9, the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That knowledge. Are we walking with that kind of knowledge? But see, that's not a knowledge here. It's a knowledge here. It's love. And it's not my love to him. It's understanding his love for me that quickens my life, that encourages me to come to a Bible study, that I do desire, and actually not just desire, I pant to hear this, especially in the middle of the week, as we say. It's been tough for all of us, I know. And the reason I do know is because you hadn't seen Christ yet. There's an ache no matter every moment that we don't see Jesus. But brothers and sisters, these ones are the ones that are spared from the wrath that we just read of in 5:9. See, God doesn't want or didn't appoint any of us for that. He's made a way of escape for everything. Amen? Did he not? And he's already made it. It's not like, well, we got to get to it. I got to make it. The way of escape is already made. And believe it or not, that actually includes so sweetly even the tribulation. That way of escape has already been made, and that way of escape is merely in loving his appearing. Isn't that what it says? To them that love his appearing. All right. Now, the Philly church, we're reading about some Philippian saints, but the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3:10, it says there, we won't turn, but go ahead and mark it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Wonderful statement there. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, just as we're going to read tonight, Paul says it like this, press for the mark for the prize. Amen? The quest to apprehend him, we're reading that. But because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the tribulation. That's what the hour temptation in the Greek, it means the tribulation. Because of that, brothers and sisters, because of that wonderful love of the Word of God. See, this is the only church that it is spoken of the seven. because it's the company, the only believers living unto the time of Jesus Christ's return that have kept him as their first love. That's the difference. There's lots of believers that live to the time of Jesus coming. But this company of believers is the company that lives into the time of Jesus Christ coming that has not left him as their first love. Amen. See, that church in Ephesus, a lot of wonderful things as we know, and great faith, sweet works of the Lord in their lives. But I have one thing against you. You left your first love. And nowhere in that church of Ephesus does it say, or any of the others, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You talk about a keepsake, huh? Keeping it like to have and to hold. Remember how we said that? The word of life. Kept it like that. I'll tell you what, honey. I'm going to keep you from the tribulation. Because there's a wedding day that start right then. And I got to have her with me. And she's not going to go through that. She's been holding back everything because I love her so. The roaring lion hasn't come forth yet. That devil's awful evil, and we've seen a lot of evil through the ages, haven't we? Oh, you think about what they did to the Christians. You think about the martyrs. You think about what they did with Pol Pot and Hitler and Stalin and the evil that's going on in this world today. Haven't seen nothing yet. Haven't seen nothing yet. You look into the Word of God and you hear about some of the things that are going to come forth. It does. It'll make your skin crawl. But that's what sin is. And that's what sin does. And apart from God, there go I. Apart from His wondrous grace. Praise God. How it keeps us. But brothers and sisters, these are the ones that have held fast the crown. That truly, as Brother Paul says, if by any means, that's the life. If by any means I might attain unto that wonderful resurrection of the dead. It's my sole purpose of life to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. And then off they go. Off they go. They're gone. They're out of here. Missing the entire tribulation. Missing all of that sorrow. You better get real with this, the innumerable multitude, as it says later on in Revelation. He has to wipe the tears from their eyes. I'll assure you, that company in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's no tears. It's absolute ecstasy. It's euphoria like we've never, ever imagined. Because it's going to be a body like unto His own glorious body. I can't imagine how we're going to shout and praise and what we're going to do. But praise be to God, He's got it. Now, brothers and sisters, we talked about this on Sunday. One star does differ from another in glory. Every man will be in his own order. There is a glory of the moon. Understand what that is. That's a reflected glory. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to reflect Jesus. But how wonderful to be lit up. Huh? To be illuminated. A sun glory. Just read it for what it is. What does he mean? He means just that. And praise the Lord, the epitome of it, of that glory, her light. She descends from heaven having his glory and her light. Can you imagine that? She's got him. Not only just arm in arm. Embrace and embrace. She's got him in here. He's grown up to her in everything. Praise God. That's who she is. You'll read that in Revelation 21, 9 through 11. And this is some awesome stuff. And the reason it's so awesome is because how he loves us. And how he loves us, when we really get into that, happy are we in Jesus. We're just happy in Jesus, aren't we? See, the resurrection of the dead, brothers and sisters, could be at any moment. I always remember Brother Hill talking about the different ones that he might see on the way up. I don't know, but I'm thankful to God that he's going to do what he's going to do. But those graves of those Smyrna saints, they could open up at any moment. See, in those Smyrna saints, those are the ones that won God's best since Pentecost that have died. How simple. That's just them. They've won his best since Pentecost and have passed away. Paul, Priscilla, Aquila, Brother Copley, I'm confident by God's grace. Sister Bodie, and so many that we've said so long to here at Living Waters Tabernacle. And I'm thankful to God to be able to say that. I'm not boasting of a place. I'm just boasting in Christ and the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with mankind, in a sense, of anything that we could produce, or a building, or heritage. Matter of fact, all of that will just take away from it. But the message never changes. The message never changes. It's absolutely perfect. It will always bring forth that perfect life. That's the mature life, the complete life. It always will bring forth. It's infallible. And that's what's so beautiful with the grace in this message. But so sweetly, as you read here, and we'll go ahead and just read now 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, see Paul saying this, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So I ask you here, was he hoping that he had salvation? Was he hoping that he was saved? Was he hoping that he was going to go to heaven? What stupid questions, but need to be answered. No, he wasn't, because all of those things were already done and settled. So he was hoping for something much more. And he already tells you what the much more was. If by any means, this is my life, this is my passion, I want his best. Brethren, I count not myself. He goes over it again. I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't want you to think I'm confident in me at all. But I sure am confident in the grace of God. I'm confident in his faithfulness. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, because that will always defeat me. Anything of that past will always defeat me. It's about now. It's about right now. Yesterday is absolutely gone. Whatever was done for Christ, I thank him with, but I can't hang it on that. He didn't say be ready yesterday. He said be ready now. The wife is ready now. Praise the Lord. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So sweetly, Paul humbly is saying, grace has made this my one true love. See, he's completely saturated with this love. Christ has increased so much that he has so much decreased, and realizes, Lord, this is your work and your work alone. And if I'm still drawing a breath, you're still working. And praise the Lord, this cannot be cut short. I appreciated Brother Hawkins' message about the trial. Now, let's talk about the trial of your life, living through every one of them. Be still by God's grace. Endure. And endure the hardness of a good soldier by his grace. And he says, not as though I have already attained. He's saying, I must finish my course. He's going to say that later that he did. But what he's saying right here, because God gave him that revelation that he was taking him home. But what he's saying right here is that I must finish my course. This lifetime that Christ Jesus has bestowed upon me, all the before ordained good works, I should walk in them. You talk about getting busy. It's called faith. Lord, let me believe you. You have opened this. Let me walk boldly through it. Let me walk boldly through the furnace. There's a furnace going on for each and every one of us. I know that. You wouldn't be here tonight listening to this message, receiving this message, without being in a furnace. This is the only way it's going to happen. The fiery trial. He said it. Don't think it's strange. It's what's needed. It's what's necessary. It's got to be this fervent, fervent heat for me to bring my fervent, fervent love. And in my fervent, fervent love, you're going to have fervent, fervent faith. And you're going to believe me. That's how he works. Isn't that just incredible? We could maybe want it another way, but I think as we get into the Word of God, no, I don't want it any other way, Lord. I'm realizing you're God. And I'm realizing that God is love. And he loves me so much, you want me to finish with a full joy. You want me to have it all. You've given it all to me. But you want me to grow into having it all. Now, you think about this, these before ordained good works, brothers and sisters, that we should walk therein. This is the path of bridal glory. A path of bridal glory that the Father and the Son rejoiced in for each and every one of us here tonight before a star was ever set in heaven. Think about that. That was already seen. It was seen that that's God's will. That's what he wants. And that's what he's provided. He blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have this. We have this life to grow up, to fully go through this path, and to grow up into him in all things. But it must be lived, brothers and sisters, and it must be lived in Christ. And as Brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he had a vision of this. He said, I glory in that man. I've got a vision of what you want me to be, Jesus. Praise be to God. I understand it's got to be grace that gets that, because I'm telling you, it's just unspeakable. There's things up here that are unworthy to be honored, but I'm telling you what, I glory in that man that I am in Christ. That full-grown lovely that you have me in your sights to be. And again, it's because grace has won that place for me. And if I'll yield to it, I'll win it. Amen. Amen. See, it's just believing, brothers and sisters. This is a faith match. Praise God. And faith works by love. Not as though I had already attained, as he says. Either were made perfect. So again, we go back to that word perfect. We understand that as a child of the King, the moment that we received him as Christ, sinless perfection was taken care of. Praise the Lord. My sins are as far as the east is from the west, in the sea of forgetfulness. He that believeth in God, praise God, doth not commit sin. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. He's already taken care of that. So what is this perfection he's talking about? Growing up, fully finished, maturing, completed. But as Brother Paul said, I must follow after, if that I may apprehend that for me which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I love that, how that is. Because see, Jesus Christ is already there. He's already got me. He's apprehended me. And he's already apprehended you. His left hand is under your head. And his right arm is already embracing you. You just got to realize it. Can you imagine that? See that Song of Solomon? Whew. He got to kind of sweep you off your feet to do that one, huh? I'm telling you, the Word of God is so beyond romantic. It should make you blush. But he had to do it that way, because that's the only type that we could even, you know, remotely get to. And yet, I can imagine that. And I'm thankful to the Lord that, you know, he's made us loving people, hadn't he? I'm thankful how we love one another. But and even in relationships, how you love your spouses. And if help you, God help you to love your spouse more. Always. Is under the Lord. But it's awesome. I got a lot of thoughts on that. Probably need to always be kept to myself. But how awesome. I'll let the Lord and the Spirit run them in your heart too. But brothers and sisters, it's just beyond. See, he saw the joy before him on the cross. He was already looking into our eyes a long time ago. Think about it. That pierced side, that rib portion was with him. Praise the Lord, on the cross. He's been head over heels for her ever since. Beyond, ever since the Father said, oh honey, it's not good for man to live alone. So, I think he wants us to apprehend him. How about you? Huh? You know that word apprehends, a really neat word, just like pretty much every word in the Bible is. It means to lay hold so as to make one's own, to obtain. I'm not making this up. This is just what it means in the Greek. To attain to take in to oneself. And most people running around that are the children of the King, there's not much more, no more than salvation. Isn't it a shame? See, that's my sadness, because it's so good, because God wants you to have it all. And we're the only ones to blame. But you think about that, to take into oneself. See, it doesn't get any better than that. Christ in me is the hope of glory. This is the wineskin ever expanding with the precious infilling of the anointing power to make him my own. See, I read the word of God, and I know you do too, and the Spirit quickens. And all of those wonderful types of the Old Testament. I want to ravish him with just one glance of my eye. How about you? Amen? Amen. I mean, this is the opportunity that we have. We've been reading about Esther and Ruth. And again, how they took only and all what the Holy Spirit was to give them. See, the keeper of the woman. And they won. They won the king. They won the prize. They got it. They were the one. Vashti was replaced. She wanted to play, I don't know, hard to get. She wanted to be irritated. Henri, I'm not ready. When the king's ready, you better be ready. When the trumpet goes off, it's over. That moment is done. And see, that's the thing. I know that he will perform the good work. He will. He will. But there's only time for that work. The perfect. The complete. Yeah. See, this sweet Esther and Ruth, they forgot those things which were behind. Think about this. They forgot who they were. They were just going for it. Think about it. Ruth was the young widow. She was a foreigner. She wasn't even from the people. Esther, orphan. Come on, a castaway? She was just picked up by her uncle. They forgot everything about why they couldn't and embraced, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that what it's about? Who are you? I'm looking at the sons of God. So who could be against you? Why would we listen to lies? Lies aren't true, are they? Never really happened, because it's a lie. I can do all things, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. My sheep hear my voice. That's his voice. Anything else that tells you anything but that is a lie, and it's not his voice. That's right. Paul laid down not only all the guilt from his past, and he had a lot of guilt in his past. You think about it. He'd done a lot of awful things. And sometimes even for a sinner who comes to the Lord, it's still hard to let all of that go, because it's still not of us to really look at the blood to believe him. But that's what faith is. I know I'm new. Are you new? I was a little guy. There was a sister here, not in this church, but the one over there. I'm brand new. Brand new, brand new. I remember it used to wake me up. Never mind. But what about this? Paul not only laid down his guilt from his past, but how about some of the insecurities maybe of getting started so late in life as a Christian? Huh? I've seen that happen. How about you? How about maybe all the skepticism that was met him by the brothers and sisters that said maybe to him, look at your past. You can't be a disciple, let alone an apostle. Are you going to let others show you your past? We're not wrestling flesh and blood, are we? That's just the devil and his lies. It's exciting, isn't it? I mean, my body's like excited right now. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me. I'm excited for our body. See, because I believe that God is really striking deep to get us to say, yes, Lord. Like that dear brother, you know, he heard about salvation. He said, you know, I need that. Yes, Lord. And then he heard about the Holy Spirit. Well, I need that too. Yes, Lord. And then the bridal message. Yeah, I need that too. Yes, Lord. The only thing that can stop us is when we don't say yes, Lord. Amen? Amen. See? Nobody can stop it. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, Paul then went on even further. And he even laid down his trophies. See, after the Lord delivered him from that, then it went on to building from glory to glory. But even those trophies Paul laid down, trophies maybe of his natural talents, even all the loss, the suffering for Christ's sake. And what he says there is, Lord, it's all you. It's all your grace. It's all your love, and it's all your doing. This has been nothing of me. I take no credit. I appreciated a phone call the Lord put on my heart tonight, and I called a brother in the Lord, and I said, you know, I don't ever get to see you much. I don't visit with you much, but I want you to know that God puts you on my heart pretty much every day. And I take no credit for that. The only thing I take credit for is unbelief and failure. But that's just what God does. Amen? Every good gift comes from where? Above. Let's just get it straight. Come on. You'll feel a lot better about Christ in you, not yourself, but Christ in yourself. How's that? But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. He says, nothing of me, it's all your strength. And in your strength, my goodness, I can reach. I can reach the things that are before, as it says there, reaching forth unto those things which are before. That word reaching is a wonderful word. It means to be stretched. How about pressed out of measure? What do you think? See, when this starts to happen in our lives, when we go after this, we're actually going to be willing to be stretched. We're going to be willing to suffer for His sake. Amen? We're going to be willing to be conformable unto His death. Amen? Amen. This is the reaching, the willingness. Lord, you will and do in me of your good pleasure. Absolutely, over and over and over in the Word of God. Lord, I'm yours. Been saying that so many times to young people, especially these days, that are Christians. You don't realize that you're not your own. You're not your own. When you asked Him to come in, He jumped right in. And He's not going to leave. And He's never going to leave you alone. And you're going to someday rejoice that He'll never leave you alone. He's not there to bother you. He's there to comfort you, and protect you, and nurture you. And that's when you see that, you begin to apprehend Him. Say, thank you for holding me through all of my unbelief, through all of my ornery-ness and deceitfulness and all of these things. Matter of fact, you don't even know what I'm talking about because you forgot all that. That's a lover. That's somebody that's just starry-eyed. Oh, you're just too beautiful. Quit talking like that, huh? You got to get this. Praise God, how He loves us. I mean, He is head over heels. Listen to the Word of God. I'm thankful He's omnipotent. I'm thankful He's omnipresent, omniscient. But I'm so thankful He's the lover of my soul. And He will never be anything but. That's it. God is love. Go back to what He is. Praise the Lord. But see, what was before Paul that he was reaching for to be stretched? We can think of so many things, but the one thing the Lord puts on my heart, it's the throne of grace. That's always before us. And Paul always was there. He was reaching for that by God's grace to be stretched with that grace. The supply for every need, every encouragement or buffering. I was thinking grace, it's a kind of a funny word. And I remember reading in literature and then in singing, and I sang in an opera called The Elixir of Love. I won't tell you the Italian, but grace is the elixir for contentment. Grace is the elixir. It's the drink for contentment in whatsoever state. We begin to murmur. We begin to fuss, move around a little bit. I was visiting with a sister tonight, and she's miserable. There's something going on in a sense, in body, and it hurts. It's not comfortable. There's inconveniences and all of these things. But do you believe grace, that grace can even make that a joy to you? I do believe that. I believe that grace, there's nothing that can stop it. That in whatsoever state I'm in, not just to sit and shake, but to joy in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That's grace. And it's not just happy thought and, you know, stay with it and suck it up. That's not it. It's not. It's where you start getting love and you start receiving love. And love is seen in the truth. It sustains us. It holds us. Gives you the vision of the lover's eyes. Said, honey, believe me, believe me, believe me, believe me. He does need to captivate our thoughts, doesn't he? But his throne of grace is where it's all at, so freely to be enjoyed by all. And as Galatians 4:1 says to a child of God, we are Lord of all. Hey, he said it. And he wasn't just talking, his word is true. See, that's the thing. You know how we can just say things that are meaningless? There's nothing meaningless about the Word of God. It's full of meaning. And we are Lord of all, the children of the King who are to grow up into Him in all things. So I just say, let's get the power of the throne of grace to be made into the mighty men. Isn't that wonderful? How the Lord just continues again, and we're just touching it. It's all woven perfectly. But let's get grace to be mighty men. Supermen, matter of fact, as the Word of God continues to say it with Paul. That not just run, because you're going to have to be a superabounding saint to press. See, the word press means to run swiftly, to pursue. And I know a brother will love this one. And it means in a hostile manner. Yeah, it means in a hostile manner. Matthew 11:12 says the violent take heaven by force. She's fervent about this. That's where people, and I'm talking Christians, that might be childish in their actions that don't really understand it, can see those and be around those in great faith. Now, I'm not making an excuse for arrogance. Don't get me wrong. Arrogance is awful. It's a sin. It's unbelief because it's Christ Jesus is not arrogant. He's just I am. Amen. It's what he is. I am. Love it. But great faith often for those who are ignorant, childish, can appear sometimes to them as arrogant. Oh, you're prideful. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, I point to him always. See? He's the one that's faithful. He's the one that's all lovely. But it just so happens that that life lives right in here. It's amazing. Now, I credit him with everything. But I'm so thankful for the gospel of Christ. And see, that's the boldness, that power, brothers and sisters. And that's why we can believe. And that's why we do believe. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. He quickens us to believe him. And the more we love, and you know this, God even gave this as such a gift to us, even in our natural life, you believe people that you know love you. You do. First ones you should know, but anymore people are without natural affection, is your mother. And I keep telling that to young kids, and especially ones with Christian parents, you don't realize. I know you're fighting against this because it's just that Adam. All right? But you'll never have anybody more for you than those parents. They love you. They would give their life over and over and over for you. But yet you're not going to listen to them because you know better. And you need this and you need that. And that can never be compared with the love of your Heavenly Father. And yes, natural parents could be fallible. Could you imagine that? They can be wrong. And parents, be bold to admit it when you're wrong. It's okay. Sometimes, believe it or not, showing that you actually are human to your children, it's okay. But always back it up still to say, but that's not your excuse to disobey. It's not. Because you're not obeying me, you're obeying God. See, that's the thing. It's a seamless transaction. It's called the Word of God. And you'll be rewarded. And praise the Lord how the family is rewarded in that. But it's so wonderful that she's fervent about her love. She is incensed with a love for him. And this pressing in a hostile manner. Her love can't even really be explained or compared. Can you really explain love? You can't, but especially when you're talking about bridal love for Jesus Christ. It's beyond. But this restates it by any means. This is exactly what this is going back again. It's giving it that sufficient witness. Because it's the mark for the prize, it's the goal for the victor. This is referring to the games in an Olympiad. The Word of God tells us that they all run, but one receives the prize. One wins it. And you know who the winner is? The one who runs in joy. That's the winner. And that's it. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is his love enough for you? Isn't that a crazy question? But think about it. Really, that's what it's about. Is God's love. Now let's talk about it this way. Is the son's love for his wife. Is that enough for you? Come on. Put it in perspective. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Is it? Crazy talk. But it's what it is. And you know what? It is enough. It's so more than enough. It's not even to be compared. But that's how he loves us. And this is what he's saying. Is my love enough for you? All these things I've told you. The glory that shall be revealed. Not a maybe. Not an if. It's just a when and it's a happening. Oh my goodness. But brothers and sisters, the joy knowing that in Christ, and it's in Christ is the only reason I'm running, that I'm more than a conqueror. That his life and his power has already won it for me. And that he will finish the good work that he's begun in me. And that it is finished. And that I can depend upon his finished love and his finished blood. And in that I rest. And I'll tell you what, when you rest in the Lord, that's your strength. It is. It's your ability. The rest of the Lord is your power. Amen? There's nothing more powerful than that. Nothing can get to you by God's grace when you're resting in the Lord. You know it. You're in the cleft of the rock. Huh? And it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We'll wrap it up. Now, obviously, if there's a high calling, he's comparing it to something else. Yeah, there is a high calling. And it's the first trump calling. And that's translated the upward calling. I'll give you a few verses that you can write down. Nope, we're going to read them. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. I don't want to withhold a thing. I'm encouraged to the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Huh? Christians he's talking to. You want the name of the Lord glorified in you? You want to be descending from heaven, having the glory of God in you? It's all over the Word of God. Wake up. And ye in Him. Isn't that wonderful? Tell you what, you talk about glory and glory. He glories about you and you glory about Him. Isn't that what lovers do? According to the grace of our Lord, our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:9. Let's read that one. 1 Timothy 1:9. What's it say there? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. No, I think that's right. Knowing this, that the law is made not for a righteous man, but for lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. Well, I must have wrote that down wrong. Isn't that something? And I was reading the right verse not too long ago. Well, the Lord will quicken my heart to it. What am I looking for, brother? 2 Timothy, thank you. 1:9. Amen. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. See, there it is. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that wonderful? Because we see that it is His purpose and His grace. It has nothing to do with our works. Had nothing to do with my effort. That calling is His and His alone. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation. And that is the high calling wherewith ye are called. And then you go down to the fourth verse. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now, brothers and sisters, the mark for the prize is clear. He's saying, meet me in the air. It's exactly what he's saying. Put it all together. See, that's the upward calling. See, the rest of the companies that are seen in heaven are all taken from off the earth. Airborne is where it's at. Amen? Amen. Airborne is where it's at. As we read in 1 Thessalonians, that fourth chapter, they meet him in the air. And so wonderful, brothers and sisters, that we're not talking about overnight airborne. We're talking about a thief in the night airborne, aren't we? That's the readiness. Taking flight as the eagle, soaring cherubim above the throne. And that's just it. We must be ready to fly now. We got to be ready to fly now. We got those wings for flight now. She's the readied wife now. And I was thinking, and so often, and again, it's just him. But I look at you, and I think of us all as these perched eagles. We're perched. We're sitting right there at the edge of the canyon. And we're just waiting for that mighty gust of wind, aren't we, to come up. Well, the maestro's about ready to blow a blast on a trumpet. Amen. And praise be to God, the beloved, the bridegroom. I come, and off we go. Face to face, embrace and embrace. Forever to be with the Lord. And what a time it's going to be. Praise the Lord. Enjoyed being with you. Thanks be to God. Because He is with us. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.